This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best-tasting protein powder out there. You can check them out at BlackStarLabs.com. Don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order. Again, this week's episode features music by Jail titled Everyone's Hip. You can check them out at SubPop.com. Welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 181. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me this week is Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. Lee, how you doing?
Doing good, Kevin. Sup?
Not much. John Fass is not with us.
And he's traveling.
Yeah, he's actually going to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory this weekend, so he cannot be with us. He's going to get some everlasting gobstoppers.
I never ate a gobstopper.
They're not bad, but they don't last forever. That's bull.
Yeah, I think it's it's false advertising is what it is.
Like, you go through a box of those things in half an hour. Oh, and also, if you hear a dog panting, it's because my dog's panting and behind me because he looks like he wants some attention. I'm on dog sitting duty again this week. My parents have gone on vacation again without me.
Where'd they go?
They went back down to Martha's Vineyard. No, not Martha's Vineyard. Hilton Head.
Yeah. No, I mean, wow.
Can you hear that in the background?
No.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I knew there's a reason I spent $150 on this microphone. All right. We got a great show lined up for you guys this week. We have an interview with Cassandra Forsythe coming up later on in the show. Yeah, it's a great interview. We talk for about 45 minutes all about training and nutrition around pregnancy, or before, during pregnancy, all the way up leading into giving birth. And it's a really cool story from Cass, like how she was teaching boot camps, like all the way up to like 3 days before giving birth. Not necessarily doing everything, obviously, but she was just still able to get around. And now she... she's back at it. She had, a couple days of rest, and she's already back at it. So some really cool stuff. We also talk about, for one of the things that I just happen to remember from my lifestyles of nutrition, is that women are only need 500 extra calories for when they're pregnant to make sure the baby has proper nutrition, at least to a certain extent calorie wise. And I always thought that was interesting because you always see the best, look who's talking, where Kirstie Alley, I guess that's where her eating started when she was prepping for that.
I love that we're referencing, look who's talking as some sort of research method.
You look at her and she, she basically stuffed her face for, the whole movie.
Oh, you're getting so much hate mail. You just got so much hate mail.
Why? Because Kirstie Alley has a fan club?
Dude, you can't just... You can't do that. It's wrong.
I'm not knocking on Look Who's Talking. I think it's a great movie.
I realize that you're not knocking on the movie, but instead the incredibly...
She's a big girl. She admits it. She has a show all about how she's trying to lose weight again.
I know.
She had a show about being a fat actress.
I guess I can't say anything.
Oh, also, here's my Iron Man 2 review that we forgot to talk about in the off-topic. It's pretty good. You should go see it. I'm surprised about how many people asked for a review for that. But I'm happy that you guys like my opinion.
That's the extent of your review. It's pretty good. You should go see it.
It's pretty good. Robert Downey Jr. is good. Scarlett Johansson is more smoking hot than I thought she was. Like, I wasn't really a big fan, but she wears stuff in this movie that just makes you think, like, wow, she's probably one of the most attractive women in the world, but she kind of still looks like a. Okay, my dog just coughed something up, but she kind of looks like a someone that I wouldn't want to hang out with.
There's an attitude there.
Totally.
You know what I mean? You pick it up too. I don't know. It could, but I pick up a vibe.
So instead, I want to hang out with the woman from Chuck, Yoveline, because I can't say her name. I don't know what her name is.
It doesn't matter.
Also, again, guys, I ordered some more shirts. We were out of shirts, and I ordered some more shirts. So if we have all the sizes in, We have, you know, women's sizes in small and medium, and men's sizes in gray and medium and large, and also men's sizes in medium, large, XL, and XXL. So if you want to pick up a shirt, they're only $22, and that includes the shipping. So, yeah, you can either send PayPal payment or send a check. You can go to thefitcast.com. There's a little tab that says T-shirts at the top. You can get some more information there. And for those of you guys that are want to update on Kim, one of my clients who is getting ready for a wedding. Her wedding is like 4 weeks away now. And she is, you know, she literally, she, you know, it's another one of those stories where she went to go try her dress on again, and they had to do major alterations because of all the weight that she lost. So huge props to you, Kim. And again, can, you know, continue to kick butt. And I think it's a very inspirational story for, you know, having a goal. And she clearly had a goal of a wedding date, and she's able to, you know, get herself motivated and get her mind right and get it done. So hopefully we'll have some. I have some updated pictures. I've been kind of waiting because I want to just show you guys like the final product. I want to wait a couple weeks and just show you guys kind of what we kind of finished up with a week before the wedding or a couple days before the wedding, because I think you guys will be very surprised. Some cool stuff coming up. What's up, Lee? What's been going on at leapheel.com with the forums and with the podcast?
Put up a new podcast, and today is the it's the 21st today. I don't know when this is going to air, but anyway, Friday 21st is the check-in for the challenge. So did a 30-day challenge. See how
has
people
it already
did.
Been 30 days?
It has.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy? So people are checking in today and see what's going to happen with that. And then I got some stuff coming up. I got an interview for members with John Fast that was really, really good. It's really good. Lots of stuff. I just talked to Martin Rooney, which I know you're talking to as well.
Indeed.
And I reviewed his book, and I did a bunch of reviews and everything, and I enjoyed his new book, Ultimate Warrior Workouts. I thought that was really good. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Almost an update every day over there. So check it out.
Very cool. All right, should we take a break? Do you just want to just go right into?
We just jump in. Yeah, jump in. Since we're short on time.
Cool, Lee. I got a question for you from Paul from Denver. It says, what up, Kev, Lee, John, and maybe even Tony. Don't kid yourself, Paul. Tony's never on the show. First off, I want to tell you guys to keep up the good work. When I work on my conditioning in the gym, I almost always have to fight nauseous feelings. I am working through Alan Cosgrove's and Lou Schuler's new rules of lifting, and I almost always feel sick to my stomach when I do the fat loss or other programs that involve high reps and low reps between sets. The strength programs with heavy weight and low reps are all rock and roll, and I never have problems with any of those. A little background on myself. I am 6'1", 210 pounds, 27 years old, and I've been working out for about 14 months. I work out at around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I eat lunch at about 12 or 12:30. I don't feel like it's completely my conditioning holding me back. Thanks for your help, Paul from Denver.
Okay. Well, it's very common, Paul. It's not as if that, I guess, you know, there's the one side of it is let me kind of talk about, I guess, the technical, it would seem is a lot. I get asked a lot of questions. Why do we get sick? Why do we puke around, you know, training times? Like, why is that kind of an issue? And there's various reasons for getting sick, or for vomiting, if you will. There's just an array of reasons of why we would do that. There's actually, I believe, four or five specific reasons that are outlined in an actual like physiology sense. But usually the reason of why we get sick when it's related to exercise is because it's not like a GI tract reason. And usually it's not like a nerve reason, like, you know, fear or motion sickness or anything like that, is, because of something called a chemoreceptor, I believe I'm saying that right, trigger zone. And basically, like, this is what senses endocrine and hormonal changes. It has to do with how the brain senses certain hormone disturbances, and the lactic acid is going to build up It gets sensed by that zone, and this is if I'm understanding it correctly, but the lactic acid will get built up. It gets sensed by that zone, and, you know, it can induce nausea, or it can, you know, you can possibly, you know, actually vomit and get sick. So basically, extraneous, you know, stress and exercise will increase your buildup of lactic acid, and therefore you can get sick from it. This is going to be more apparent in an exercise program that has very short rests and high reps. Basically, that's really extreme. Cosgrove and Shula's program is a superset based program and is pretty intense by all purposes. Some people just don't respond to them as well as do others do. Some might say that means it was working and to push through it, and others might say that you need to back off. I think that you just need to let your results do your thing. There's absolutely no reason that you have to do a supersetted high rep, low rest program for fat loss. It's one of many options, and the you know it's just if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, maybe the low reps that you're rocking and rolling at are what you maybe should be sticking to if you feel like that you can knock out more progress with that. So that's kind of where it's at. I think that I'd look at your programming and make sure that you're not just doing programming for the sake of programming or for the sake of doing what you think that you need to be doing, but instead something that you actually react to well.
We had an interesting email that we have all the way from Mexico. So I'm going to read that quickly and do my best. So saludos. Oh, God, I even took Spanish,
Lee. No, you keep going.
Saludos desde Mexico Fit Cast Crew. I have no idea what that means. Maybe what? I don't know. No idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I took French.
Okay. Really? You took French? You picked French over Spanish?
Well, no. Okay, like, let me make this very clear. I didn't take any language in the sense of, like, you know. But in my school, we had elective options, and we didn't have Spanish as an option. We have French as an elective option. So I didn't even have it as an option until later, and later I didn't care to take. Can we just get to the question and not talk about my curriculum?
If I screw up the words, well, English is not my language of origin. Spanish is. Maybe you get tired from hearing this, but you guys are awesome. Lee, Jonathan, and you have so much synergy. That's a pretty good English word. And compliment each other so well that every show becomes a classic. You are the Trinity of Fitness. I wouldn't go that far. I have not listened to all the podcasts, past episodes yet, so if you have answered the following questions, and if possible, just tell me what episode to listen to. Now to my questions. I train 4 days a week. My kind of training alternates between Craig DeBallantine's and Vince Del Monte's workouts. Usually I rotate every 3 months between their styles of training. This helps me from not getting bored. Anyways, both of them promote teach full body workouts, but I've been thinking of making my chest and shoulders bigger. So surfing the internet, I've read that many bodybuilders recommend working one muscle group per day and forget full body workouts. So I've been thinking of changing my training to work on one muscle per day. Monday is chest day, Tuesday is shoulders, and so on. Would this be better to obtain what I want? I heard in some of your podcasts that you favor full body workouts. Any recommendations is much appreciated. Regardless of the answer, what would be the best pectoral exercise to develop that straight, defined line between the chest muscles? Some friends say to concentrate on the upper chest other than on the inner. Would incline and decline bench and dumbbell presses or flies help? And regarding the shoulders, what are the best exercises for developing the rear shoulders? Last, for some reason, every time I watch Battlestar Galactica and see the actress that plays Starbuck, I can't help but think of Lee. I guess that is I guess no BS, don't mess with me, straight to your face attitude. Kevin can have Jessica Biel and Jonathan can have Megan Fox, who, by the way, just got fired from Transformers 3 and probably just lost her career. I will take Lee over them anytime. Lee, I think you got like a little...
Well, this is obviously instant pink dumbbell award.
Yeah. You guys are superb. Muy, muy carbon y Shigonsu podcast. God, I don't even remember any of that stuff. By the way, if you can give me an address to send you some t-shirts all the way from Ensenada, Baja California, Mexico, I will. I kid you not. Just let me know your size, number, and favorite color. It is the least I can do for all the things I've learned from you guys. Or if anyone of you decide to take a trip down here, I will be your tour guide. I'll even give you the bulletproof vest. That's the best part.
This is the best.
Bulletproof
vest.
This is
the best question ever. Ever.
Vest to you all. Oh, let me know what address I can send you guys. All right. So I think we should send him Lee's address, to be honest.
Absolutely.
And, you know, can you not send me a t-shirt, but instead send me that bulletproof vest?
All right.
Because I just want to, like, honestly, like, sometimes I'll just walk around the gym with a weight vest on and pretend like I have a shotgun in my hands and, you know, pretend like I'm 50 Cent. Because...
Do you one-hand load?
No, well, I'll... Oh, you got a one-hand load. What are you talking about, Lee? What a bad question. Okay, I mean, because, to be honest, when you walk through the gym, you got a little fitty in your head. You got your vest on. You got your fake shotgun, which is in the style of usually a body bar or even, you know, some kind of not the shake weight. I guess the shake weight would work, but you probably wouldn't want to use that. But yeah, let's go through a couple of these questions. So first off, the initial question about us recommending full body workouts over everything else. And I think that's something we can kind of say that is not 100% true, because I know we get a lot of questions into the show about people that are wanting to usually have a goal of fat loss. And it also tends to be that people have very limited time on their hands. So we usually recommend full body workouts because they can hit those body parts of the specific body parts 3 days a week, and you get usually your most bang for your buck that way. If you have a little bit more time doing body part splits, you know, it might be a good alternative if you have the time and you've progressed far enough where you have those base levels of strength, which, again, we could talk about this for like an hour, but having those base levels of strength, which would be deemed to be adequate to then move on to some kind of a body part split. I guess the best word would be prerequisites of strength before going on and doing something like this. But you said you've been training with like Craig Ballantyne's and Vince DeMonte's workout. So it seems like you have been training for a while. So you should have a pretty good baseline of strength. I know some of Craig's stuff he does have some lower rep work in there. So hopefully you have a decent baseline of strength, but from there, you know, Lee had me do some body part splits a while back, and they were fantastic. Like, they worked awesome for me. But Lee, can you talk a little bit about the reasoning about, like, you know, kind of why we would have people go to a body part split from something like a full body or an upper and lower instead, if they're looking to put on mass?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's different ways that you can do it, obviously, and I think the key here is, you know, one, and like you said, for full body workout training, we're usually talking about the general population. We're usually talking about the best bang for your buck. We're usually talking about people that are just starting out. And, you know, for beginners, for the general population, for those looking for just, you know, something to fit into a normal routine that, you know, office worker, I'm not really overly insanely concerned about becoming like, you know, a power lifter or anything. Full body workouts are usually what, you know, we kind of recommend. But there's also a degree that can be discussed for, you know, specific work. And what you're talking about is specific training. And I don't care what anyone says, you want bigger guns, you got to do the curls. You know, you want a more defined and broader chest, you've got to throw in some chest work that's, you know, kind of specific. And you know, there's a degree of how far people go with it, of course. You know, do you have to do like a 5 day a week, you know, body split program? I think that when you start to get to that level, you really are milking your advanced level of training for everything that it's worth. I think there's a difference between how, say, someone who has been doing lifting for, you know, at least 6 years straight, is going to respond to a variety and mixing it up and doing specific body part programs versus someone who's been going at it, like, you know, for a year or so, just on, you know, some body weight programs or full body weight programs and things like that. So it does depend. I usually, before, I would tell someone to go to strictly, you know, body part splits, because it's, you know, it's more rare that comes about, is to work in more of a specialty program. I would say to switch to maybe an upper lower program, versus going to just say a full body split program. I usually, the progression that I see work best, unless you're doing like an actual specific specialty program design, but that takes, in my opinion, a little bit more advanced programming knowledge, is to switch to an upper lower program so that you can add in a little bit extra work to the desired area, versus just going full, you know, body part splits of doing like, I'm going to do my chest here, I'm going to do my shoulders here, and I'm going to do that. So I usually recommend moving to an upper lower and seeing how you respond to that, or even a push pull. So that's kind of where I usually go.
And also kind of going into what would be the best exercises to use for getting the straight defined line between the chest muscles, which I'm guessing he's just talking about like muscle striations.
Yeah. And I think he said, you know, I mean, to some degree, and it, don't get me wrong, you've got to create a muscle mass.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but to some degree, there's also, there's a little bit of leanness that's involved with the definition of that pectoral area, especially for men. You know, usually that's kind of, it's not a stubborn fat area, if you will, but that's a usually a lower body weight area for men who are not overly developed with a lot of mass. So there's a little bit of a combination of making sure that you're in a low enough body fat level to start to kind of see that line and to have that development. Aside from that, you know, it's hitting the chest. You can mix it up with incline, decline, you know, presses, bench press, things like that, neutral grips. I mean, you know, you can close grips, you can do push-up variations. Chest work is chest work. I believe variety is king, and making sure that you're hitting the muscles in the best way possible. So, you know, good development comes from good progression. You know, so progress well, make sure you're doing it, you know, in proper form. There's no, you know, over compensations. A lot of times, you know, start to getting compensations with chest work. So, you know, just stuff like that. Just make sure you're focusing on progression and variety in your movements. And that should take care of itself along with, but, you know, I mean, it begs the question, I don't want to get into it too much, but, you know, it's like, if you're in a fat loss stage right now, and if you're trying to lose fat, because usually people that are doing Ballantyne and Del Monte workouts are usually into fat loss. So that's the only reason why I'm throwing it up, is this may not be the best time for chest development, because, you know, primarily you're in a deficit. So really look at the overall goal. Make sure that you're eating, you know, make sure that you're taking into all factors into consideration.
Oh, yeah. And two words, pec deck. What's up? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Lee, you want to grab the next question from Steph?
From Steph. Yes, I will. Hey, FitCast. I've been a loyal listener for the past 2 years and always enjoy listening to you on my walk to work. I've got a question about posture. I've been lifting weights, running consistently for about 4 years now, and I'm currently following Rachel Cosgrove's program, The Female Body Bakethrough, and I love it. Lifting heavy has been a great challenge. As you may know, she focuses on a lot of core work and back work to improve posture, etc. Here is my problem. I have horrible posture, curved shoulders, rounded back, etc. But I think that my core is in great shape. I can hold a four-eyed plank for 90 seconds. I have great lifting form, as I've been complimented by random trainers in the gym about it. My core is always engaged while I work out, but it never stays tight outside of the gym unless I consciously pull it in and contract my abdominal muscles. When I'm outside of the gym, I slouch and curve, and it's like my spine turns into rubber. I don't know if this is just a matter of me not constantly focusing on it or being conscious of when my posture falls of alignment or something else. I try to walk upright on my way to work and engage my core, but unless I think about 100% of the time, I'll disengage the muscles and find my shoulders rolling in. I have a desk job, so that could be exacerbating the problem. I try to sit up when I notice it, but I guess I was under the impression that through core work, mobility work, stretching, and working on my back muscles, the problem would correct itself. I know nothing is that simple, though. Any suggestion would be great. I'm tired of looking 10 pounds heavier because I hunch over. Thanks, Steph.
That's a great question, and I think I'm going to give you first, well, I should say I'm going to first start off with a really bad analogy, and I want you to think about two pieces of wood that are connected with like a hinge, kind of like a door. And when those two pieces of wood are flipped over to one side, you know, the hinge locks into place and you got a nice straight line with the wood. But when you flip it over, it bends in half. You know, that's kind of a little extreme there. But what I'm trying to say there is, yeah, that's, you know, it's great that you have good core strength. You might have great, you know, abdominal strength and oblique strength, but and endurance. But what about your back? You know, how strong is your upper back? You know, how strong is your posterior chain? Are you doing any posterior chain training, which you probably should. And Rachel's, I believe she has deadlifts and stuff like that in there. But when what I would really say is I would really look at what the, you know, where you're at. Maybe Rachel's program isn't the best for you right now because you probably, it sounds like you need a lot more pulling in your work, in your program, than you need pushing. And what that will do is it will actually improve that upper body posture, and you'll find things starting to click into place. And, you know, recently I just talked about deadlifting. You know, making sure you got proper deadlift form, making sure you're able to hold that arch as you're at the bottom of the lift or at the end of the lift, and as you come up and finish the lift. You got to make sure you're basically doing everything perfect. And I'm a real pain in the ass with my clients and my athletes because I'm a huge stickler for form. If something looks like crap, I'm going to say that, yeah, that looks like crap. You can't, we either going to have to fix this or we have to regress and we have to do something that's a little bit easier for you and something that will help you learn the movement better. One great thing to do is, and Steph, I don't know if you've heard of these, but if I have clients that can't do, you know, like a, not necessarily even a deadlift, but even something like a kettlebell deadlift, we'll just say for example, I'll have them do things like pull-throughs just to have them learn the movement, think about what their body should be doing and what they need to be conscious of during the lift, almost to the point where they don't have to be conscious of it at the end. They're going to be able to just do it automatically without really having to think about it. So, again, what I would say is you got to make sure you're doing your rowing movements. I would even go for right now 2-to-1, pull to push, and make sure you just have that upper body strength where it should be. And again, and I talk about doing things properly, making sure you have proper scapular retraction and you're not going halfway with these rows. Make sure they're light enough. So if you can think about it this way, if you're doing a row, make sure your wrist is going all the way back to your ribs. That's an easy marker of just knowing that you're going back further, far enough where you're getting that proper scapular retraction. When you're doing your rowing movements, make sure you have your chest up and you have your shoulder pulled down and back. That way you make sure you're not shrugging and you're, again, you're getting that full range of motion and, again, just promoting scapular retraction. Other things that you can do, you can look at your thoracic mobility. I think thoracic mobility could be an issue there. Well, just quite simply look at I think Eric Cressy has a video online about thoracic mobility drills that you can do just with using a foam roller, and Mike Boyle has them as well, using two tennis balls taped together to improve thoracic mobility. That is another factor that can come into play. So, you know, it could be a bunch of different things without seeing you in person, Steph, but the big thing is just improving that upper body strength and just, again, being cautious of your posture. Like you said, you have to make sure when you can remember, sit up straight. Even if you have to make a little Outlook alarm on your computer and have it tell you to sit up straight every 15 minutes, just make sure you do it. And finally, I'll finish off with just making sure when you warm up, again, promote scapular retraction. Do no monies. Or even make sure you have proper scapular mobility. Make sure you're doing your scap wall slides. The no monies can be huge in terms of just promoting that proper posture and getting you to where you should be. But hopefully, you know, start with some of that. If you have any more questions about that, again, you can always feel free to email us, but hopefully that will kind of shed a little bit of light on the issue. And, you know, just always keep in mind that no matter how many planks that you do, you're only working on, you know, one side of the equation. You got to work on the other side as well. And Lee, feel free to fill in.
I would just, you know, I would bet my money whenever I see people talk about that they can hold their planks, but they're still having core issues. I would bet my money that she's tossing up the weight on the top part of her shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably her butt is too high in the air. I would actually, you know, recommend you doing a test, Steph, and do a plank, you know, in your normal form, and then have an extreme draw into the scapula, lower your glutes and your body in general into a straight line, and I bet you'll shake like a leaf in your core like you weren't before, because most of the time people are not doing planks properly, and they just shift the weight around. And they usually never really actually feel it where they're supposed to feel it. So, yeah, I think dead on. Totally agree with Kevin's assessment. And as far as the posture thing, and this is interesting, I was talking, John, about this, but the posture thing, you do have to keep aware of this. It's, you know, and as John put it, it's 1 hour in the gym that can erase 23 other hours of the day. So you do have to be conscious of your posture. You do have to brace. You do have to sit up straight. You have to work at it. You know, you can do all the back rows in the gym that you want, but not utilizing your back throughout the rest of the day, it isn't going to help you much. So, yeah, you do have to maintain that kind of postural awareness. But over time, it should become a little bit easier and a little bit better if you try and keep it up. But, yeah. Great job, Kev.
Let's knock out one more question so I can take a shower before going to work. Because, you know, you smell good for the ladies, Lee.
I know you do, babe.
All right. So I'm going to just go with – Lee, do any other questions in the outline really stand out to you? Well, we'll get to the other ones next week, but –
I did all this research on biofeedback, which we can talk about next week. I just want to make sure that we do that at some point. We can hit the creatine question. I think that's actually, I think some people might be concerned about that. I've seen it talked about some lately.
All right, cool. So Leo, I'll throw this to you. Hey guys, I have a question about creatine and hair loss. I have been taking creatine for about a year now, seeing that it isn't too expensive and has no real taste, and is very well researched. It seems like an obvious supplement to add to the list. I know that in the past you have recommended creatine as a supplement to take. One of my friends told me that creatine can cause hair loss. I looked it up, and sure enough, creatine increases DHA. I'm not even going to correct it.
Yeah, just DHT. Okay. Just say DHT.
Oh, DHT, sorry. See study, and he linked us to a nice study on PubMed. A simple Google search led me to lots of info on DHA, right? God, it's all right. It's early in the morning.
DHT, yeah.
And hair loss. In fact, some people take DHT suppressants to minimize hair loss. In any case, I am always looking for supplements that will help me, but not at the expense of going bald. Since a lot of people look to you guys as a source of fitness information, and since you have recommended creatine, I was hoping you could discuss the issue or at least mention it to listeners. That's from Payam.
Nice. Yeah, it's been an interesting study. It's been a little bit of a controversial study, as you can imagine, because it's not just about the DHT. There was just this, or not just about hair loss. There's also discussion about prostate health in regards to elevated DHT levels. So I guess let's talk about the study of how studies go. It was a pretty decent one. It was a double-blinded crossover design study, which basically means that both groups were given a placebo dose and both groups were given a creatine dose. So, and it was, I'm trying it. Let me find it real quick. How many rugby players it was? I believe it was 25 rugby players, but I'm not seeing it right now in front of me. But basically they did it on these rugby players, and overall the study found with the loading dose of, I believe it was 25 grams of creatine, and 25 grams of glucose, and the placebo was just 50 grams of glucose, that there was an increase of about 56% after 7 days of the creatine loading, and it bottomed or baselined out at about 40% increase. So the question is, you know, obviously that there was a raise in the DHT levels. There are lots of if, ands, and buts about this. Does exercising have an effect or not? So on and so forth. I'll try and keep it short, but basically, the biggest question is raising of your DHT levels going to cause you to go bald, or is it going to cause you to have any sort of long-term health concerns or issues? Well, you know, the high DHT or testosterone levels and prostate cancer is more of a correlation rather than causation. At this point in time, there's nothing in which that you can absolutely say something like that. For DHT levels and male pattern baldness, there's, you know, a lot of research with the DHT levels showed that, you know, it's more of a genetically based thing, that there's not a lot that we can do to affect it, from my understanding of the research. But it is one of those things that if you have a situation with male pattern baldness, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't know if I want to increase my risk of that. It's a link. It's not a solid one. I would like to see more research done in this area before saying, oh, a lot of creatine is going to cause you to have hair loss. I don't think that you can go as far as to say that. I think it's an interesting study, but I certainly don't think that the one study is going to be the end all of everything. I think that what we see about DHT and male pattern baldness or hair loss is more of a genetically driven factor, that it would take, you know, actual drugs to hinder or increase on any sort of large level. The kind of increase that they were talking about was not a very extreme increase in DHT levels as it is anyway. So my gut instinct is to say I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't be overly concerned. I don't really feel that this is going to be a big hindrance to hair loss or health in any way, shape, or form, especially from what we've seen as positive of creatine. At the same time, creatine is not something we have to take by any sense of the terms. You can always exercise caution. Right now, I think that it's just in a stage of, I don't know. You can practice caution if you so desire, but I'm gonna err on the side of I think that it's perfectly fine. That's my opinion based on the research thus far.
Cool.
Yep.
I like that answer, Lee.
Yep. I knew you would, Kevin.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up the main part of the show here. We're going to go into an interview with Cassandra Forsythe, and I'm going to go take off my clothes and get in the shower. So I'm going to leave you with that note. And don't forget to check out theficcast.com for all the latest episodes. Also, the great episode player that we have on the little right-hand side. And I actually got an email from someone saying that they can't listen to the podcast at work because they can't get access to iTunes or they can't download MP3s, but the player on the side works when they're at work. So you know, screw productivity and listen to the podcast. Also, again, as I mentioned, please subscribe through iTunes if you do use iTunes. And if you haven't already, submit a review. We appreciate it greatly when you guys do that. And I think that is about it. If you have any last-minute questions for Martin Rooney, hopefully I will get to interviewing him next week. Things didn't work out last week because I injured myself, which is awesome. We'll have more on that maybe sometime down the road, but are we gonna give out a pink dumbbell award? I think we already gave it out.
I think we already did. I think that it's a given.
Okay, I have to find the name of the person who sent that in because I'm an idiot and I totally forgot to put their name in it. But you know what?
Whoever you are, you deserve it.
You know what? I'll quickly ask you, Lee. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Found it, Ruben.
Oh, it's Ruben?
Yeah.
Oh, see, he's already a sweetheart of mine.
Is it like Ruben from the...
It's the same Ruben.
Ruben Studdard from American Idol?
No, not that Ruben.
God, why do I always run out of gas at the end of these shows? All right. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you in another week. We'll have some cool stuff for you.
You're going to ask a question, and you totally went blank. Okay,
I was just doing it so I could look up his email. It's just burning time.
That was stall. Okay, all right.
We have a jam-packed off-topic this week, almost like 20 minutes.
Whoop, whoop.
What's up?
John,
go steal me some fizzy bubbly. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Ah!
You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You lose. Good day.
I said good day, sir. Mr. Wonka.
With me right now is good friend Cassandra Forsyth. She has just recently had a new daughter, and we're here to talk about training and diet during pregnancy, because Cass, I think you have some experience with that.
Just a little, yes, Kevin, a little bit.
And also, if people haven't been checking out CassandraForsyth.com, you've been blogging quite a bit about it.
Yes, I talk about, well, postpartum now, but I... Correct. Put tons of post-ups all through my pregnancy. So you can definitely check out everything I wrote through the journey.
So let's talk about this, because we talked about a little bit on the FitCast before how, you know, Jonathan Fass was freaking out because you're doing tire flips and all this stuff. I want to ask you, I mean, now that everything is said and done, you know, what in terms of exercise and things like that, what was good, what was bad, you know, what exercise should women stay away from? What should they stick with while they're pregnant?
Exactly. Okay. Yes. So Jonathan Fass did freak out on me a couple times, but only because he loves me and I love him. But that's, you know, it's the brotherly, sisterly love thing going on.
Exactly.
He I was doing things like log clean and presses with the logs implement thing you can find at a gym. I don't know what the heck it's called. Log. And I was jumping on the tire. I was flipping the tire. And I did actually take a couple things out. Like clean and press, I did take out because, yeah, the belly started getting in the way. And Jonathan was scared I was going to hit myself in the belly and the baby was going to get hurt, which it's pretty well protected in there. But anyway, and jumping on the tire, my husband actually got a little upset about that. So I slowed down on that after a while. But, you know, in the early parts, probably I guess up to week 30, I was doing everything. I was still deadlifting. I was still jumping on the tire. I still flipped the tire every once in a while. I was still pushing myself to the limit. I was doing Tabata rounds, everything. So week 30 was, I felt awesome. Then even to week 35, I was still working out pretty, pretty hard. It's just I started dropping things like jumping on the tire. I was just getting heavier. Not heavier. I was just feeling slower. And so certain ballistic exercises, plyometric exercises were a little tougher on my body. But one thing differs from me than other women is that I was already hypermobile. So I'm used to training as a hypermobile person, mm-hmm. where other women, when they get pregnant and they become hypermobile from all the relaxin that's released, may not know how to handle that. So I knew what my body could do already because I was already Gumby to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So pregnancy was different for me. But overall, I mean, I stayed so fit during my pregnancy. I taught all my boot camps. Like I physically teach boot camps. I was teaching 7 a week, sometimes 3 times a day, and doing the whole classes. I would listen to my body, though, and that's what I want every woman to just take from this if they're not going to take anything else is if you're feeling tired, take a break. Like say I had to teach a Tuesday morning and 2 Tuesday evening boot camp classes. I would do the morning one and I would do part of the evening, one of the evening ones, and then just coach the last one if I was getting really tired for the day. And always making sure you're eating to support all that activity, but eat well. That's just really the bottom line. Now, in terms of exercises I started taking out, like I said, I started taking out more of the jumping exercises because I was just, I wasn't able to jump. I stopped being able to do things like chin-ups and push-ups very well, probably because I weighed 15 pounds more. So it's like having a vest on. And also, the one thing that's the, I don't know, limiting denominator or the limiting factor in all of it is that your abs are being stretched out like over top of a beach ball or a basketball or whatever size your belly decides to get. So because they're being stretched out, you lose that core support. So I lost that core support for things like chin-ups. I wasn't able to contract my abs and help it pull me up. So I used one of the bands from like Elite FTS, you know, the big, inch and a half band that they use for assisted chin-ups and stuff like that. So I had to use that a lot. I wasn't good at that. And also push-ups. I ended up doing push-ups like on my knees when I was doing a lot in a row. And that's again because I didn't have that core strength to keep me in a nice plank position. And ab wheel rollouts, that was another one. Ab wheel rollouts or like TRX ab rollouts, because my abs are already stretched out to their max. The first time I ever felt it, I think it was at like week 25 or something, first time I felt it, all of a sudden I was like, oh, yeah, I can't do that anymore because it was like stretching it past its stretching point. So I don't know all the terminology for it. I think it's like the linea alba, the line down that runs down the middle of your ab. That also started hurting a little bit because my abs were being stretched out to the sides. So I was really good at doing side planks and side ab, any like kind of like side, like standing crunches or something, or like side cable wood chops, or even like side pal-off presses, those kind of things I was good at. But like the planking and everything that was like middle core exercise just wasn't as strong as it used to be. And for good reason, you know what I mean? So, Kevin, you totally know what I mean.
I totally know what you mean.
You know, when you eat a big meal, Kevin, you know how you feel?
Just like, oh, I don't want to move kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of thing, yeah. But so those are core, that's the big thing is the core. The other thing about exercise that women are told not to do is stop exercising on your back. Avoid supine exercises. Well, I bench pressed up until the day basically I delivered, and I did a lot of work on my back. I would
did
do floor
lift
presses.
The day you delivered?
Yes, I did actually lift the
That's
day I delivered.
Awesome.
Yes, that morning
that
I went
awesome.
To the gym. I had taken that week off. The week I was due, I had kind of, my husband was like, can you just not teach boot camps this week, and can you not work out, you know, just work out, you know, just walk the dogs, do stuff around the house. He's like, because baby probably just needs a break to come out. And I was like, all right. So when I passed my due date, which was a Thursday, that Friday morning, I was like, screw it. I'm going to the gym and I'm going to lift. And I did, but I was really tired. And I think it's because my body knew what was coming up. So, but I did. I lifted pretty good on that morning as much as I possibly could. I was doing things like, you know, goblet front squats and like single one arm overhead squats and rear foot elevated split squats and cable rows. Like I did a lot of rowing and glute work and some core work.
Did people ever approach you in the gym?
Yeah, actually, but I usually worked out with another pregnant girl.
Oh, cool.
And she was 2 weeks behind me, so we looked the same through the whole pregnancy, and they approached us saying, that's really cool what you're doing.
Yeah.
When I was in there by myself, I would usually lift a little heavier because the girlfriend that I worked out with, she kind of had some back issues. And interestingly about the back, as you know, Kevin, I have a broken spine.
Yes.
I have a spondylolisthesis, a break at L5S1. And it's caused me a lot of pain through most of my life. And I was told that when I was younger, if I got pregnant, I'd be in a wheelchair for the latter part of my pregnancy because I didn't have the back strength to hold up that weight. Well, it was not the case. And I highly attribute that to how active I actually was able to be during my pregnancy. because I was not writing my dissertation. I was not sitting at my computer very much. I was on my feet a lot of the time, and I did not have back pain. It was awesome. I was just so happy because I kind of felt like going to that doctor that said that to me and being like, you were totally wrong, like, you know, rubbing in his face.
Yeah.
But I was deadlifting. You know, I was deadlifting. I think I didn't go over 135 pounds, but I put, you know, two plates on the side and I would deadlift. And you don't see women doing that in general in the gym, but then to see like a woman at 30 weeks pregnant deadlifting, I got some comments from guys like, that's cool. You know, good for you. Your baby's going to be so strong.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was all positive. And I'm sure like the people that had negative things to say just kept it to themselves. But there was a lot of positive comments for me, my girlfriend and I, or when I was in there by myself. So it was nice. And my baby is quite strong. So so there in terms of other exercises, yeah, like doing bench press and stuff, being on your back. The reason why it's okay to be on your back when you're pregnant while exercising is because you have your body is it has extra blood flow. Your body is promoting extra blood flow to areas that need it while you're working out. And you got to think about this too. When you're bench pressing, it's not like you're on your back for like a minute straight. Usually a bench press is like a 30 second, you know, maybe 45 seconds of work, you know, depending on how many reps you're doing. So it's not like you're on your back for that a significant period of time that's going to start causing issues. And I think I was on my back for some of the workouts I did. I'd be on my back for like maybe three minutes at the most, maybe, and it was okay. But, you know, I would not be able to sleep on my back at night or lay on my back. So when I wasn't exercising, there was no way I could be on my back. So women will, you just kind of know, like you start feeling sick when you're on your back. Like Kevin, if you ever train a pregnant woman and she's like, oh, this doesn't feel good. You know, she knows. Mm-hmm. Just kind of got to go with it. But it didn't bother me being on my back exercising. So let's see. If we're talking about core strength, basically in general, that's one of the things that's going to help you with all of your exercises anyway. We all know that from like just a general standpoint. So then for pregnancy, you know, you can, it's actually advisable to avoid crunching exercises because apparently that's supposed to lead to the rectus diastasis. That's the splitting of the abdominals down the middle. Mm-hmm. So you're not supposed to crunch anyway. And we all know that crunching is just counterintuitive because we sit in a hyperflex position or we sit in a flex position all day long, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to keep on doing things like planks, Palaf press. What's the correct name for Palaf press, Kevin?
Anti-rotation press.
Okay. I knew Mike Boyle changed it or someone changed it or whatever. Okay. Anti-rotation presses were awesome. I would do some, you know, cable chops. Side planks were one of my favorite things to do, and I would hold my front planks as well as I could. So, and plank ups and bird dogs, all the good things that we're supposed to do for proper core work, not the typical like crunching a million times that everyone thinks you're supposed to do.
By the way, bird dog, what?
Yep.
Like no one does those anymore.
Really?
That's a great, I'd never see it anymore. I think it's a great exercise. It's a great thing, you know, for a warm up or even for something, putting in a program for someone that's new.
Yeah, it is. Well, I would use it actually as part of my warm up for my boot camps to sort of turn on the abs. Like I use Workout Muse to run my boot camps, the stuff by BJ and Toper.
Yeah.
And workoutmuse.com, M-U-S-E. I'm just going to promote them for a sec because I absolutely love their product.
Good stuff,
the timing of it's good. And so for the warm up, the 50-second part of the warm-up, I would do, you know, I would hold the bird dog for 3 seconds, bring it down, hold it for 3 seconds, and have that timing me for 50 seconds total, and then switch to the other side. And it would just totally turn on the abs, like on our abs before we started working out.
Cool.
Yeah, so I recommend them. So no one does bird dogs? Doesn't even...
Maybe that's just because, I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen it as much or seen it used as much anymore. But I don't know. I think people are more going towards the fancy stuff, like the cable stuff and the...
bird dogs
plank,
just aren't
plank
cool.
Variations, yeah.
Why don't we put bird dogs on a ball and then it'll be cool again?
Yeah, it'll be cool. Or maybe some kind of like asymmetrical loads.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. Holding, a weight on your ankle and then...
Yeah, I guess it is also already an asymmetrical exercise.
Pretty much.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Good stuff.
So those are just kind of exercises I changed, modified. But like I said, I did everything. I was sprinting. I was doing high-intensity work. But I started slowing down. I think the last 2 or 3 weeks, I really cut it back. And I was just feeling more tired.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel great. Like I was up and at 'em, like right after I had the baby. I lost all the weight within 5 days. Let's see. My core feels pretty strong right now. I'm back teaching boot camps. I started teaching boot camps at 3 weeks postpartum, and I was doing them.
Damn.
And yeah, I mean, I feel fine. I did this killer boot camp class with my group yesterday, like where they were like, "Cass, this is really hard," and I'm like, "Yeah, it is really hard." I was like, "Wow, let's tone this down a little." I was like, "Sorry, guys. I guess I was getting a little too excited."
Well, you've talked a little bit in the past about. I mean, this is really interesting now because mm-hmm. you had a lot of. I think you blogged about it quite a bit. How, you know, the doctors that you were seeing were like, "Oh no, you're underweight. You know, you're mm-hmm. you're not
absolutely
healthy." And you ended up being in perfect health, and the baby came in perfect health.
Yeah, exactly. My baby was 7 pounds 5 ounces, and she. Oh, she's crying right now. I'll continue talking, then I'll grab her. You guys can all hear her. She was 7 pounds 5 ounces 20 inches, completely happy, healthy. She got 9 out of 10 on her APGAR scores, which are like markers of like tone and her ability to cry and her coloring and all this stuff that babies are graded on right after they're delivered, and that usually never happens. She had no jaundice. She's very strong. She's completely content. She sleeps like an angel. She's amazing. A really good kid. And I had no problems with blood pressure or blood sugar or nothing. And I have no stretch marks. That's the other thing too. So it was good.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that, or do you want to grab the baby?
Yeah, I'm going to grab babe. Hold on one sec. Just let me hold her. She'll be fine. Just hold on.
Cool. We'll pause for a second as Cass goes and gets her newborn. Anticipation.
So you want to start recording again?
We are recording. We're back.
Okay, we're back. So we had to have a baby break for a second. And so stretch marks. There's a lot of women having babies now that have to have they don't have to worry at all about stretch marks. And the reason being, you get stretch marks when you stretch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't stretch too much, you won't get stretch marks. And how do you not stretch too much? You don't get humongous during your pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So I gained 15 pounds total during my pregnancy. I was, you know, decent size, but I didn't get any stretch marks. And I had no problems with, you know, pain, or I had some pain, you know, like, hey, when your body's stretching, of course, it feels a little weird. But and there's a lot of women that have kind of followed my blog and followed everything I was talking about. And they're not restricting themselves from eating, but they're not gaining a ton of weight because they're not thinking they need to gain 25 to 35 pounds. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's kind of no reason for it. If you're healthy, you don't need to gain all that extra fat, and then you're also preventing your body from being at a heavier weight forever because of your pregnancy. Because a lot of things I learned about in school said that most women gain and retain 5 pounds after yeah. each pregnancy that they can never get off.
That's exactly what we were told in Life Cycles of Nutrition.
Exactly, Life Cycles of Nutrition.
Yep.
Okay, I took the class too. So they gain and maintain, and I have not. Yes, there are some things you hold on to while you're breastfeeding. Every woman I've talked to basically said that your body kind of holds on to this like extra 5 pounds of a little bit of fat and fluid that, you know, like it doesn't look as tight as it could if you weren't breastfeeding. But as soon as you stop breastfeeding, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, you're not weighing like you don't have to try to get rid of 60 extra pounds or pounds that you didn't actually need to gain because you overate and you sat on your butt, because all these doctors tell women, yeah, don't exercise too much. Don't be active. You know, ooh, you're too active. Be careful, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, oh, you're not eating enough. And then they'll stress a woman out. And I actually had a little situation with that because they were telling me I was not weighing enough and not measuring where I was supposed to measure for my pregnancy. And they sent me then for my like third ultrasound in like the past 6 weeks. And I got really upset and I went to Panera Bread and I just ate. Because I was like, maybe I'm doing something bad for my baby. Maybe there's something wrong. And it wasn't the case. And mm-hmm. So I just want women to understand, eat well. You know, eat when you're hungry. Listen to your body. Don't undereat because you need that energy. But don't think you need to overeat to try to gain a certain number. Because your body's going to gain what it needs to gain to support the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, it's just kind of silly. And this whole exercise stuff, like I know a lot of other women in academia that have had babies and they said they were always very disappointed in the recommendations that were like, go for a nice walk, you know,
yeah.
And if you watch some videos on YouTube of like exercise recommendations for pregnancy, it's so tame.
Well, I mean, it seems like it is a case where, I mean, a lot of women, for better or worse, they take pregnancy as a time to not do anything and to have an excuse for, you know, no activity and to eat. And I think now it's really starting to, I mean, especially you've proved that that's not the case.
It's definitely not the case. And the one thing I will note, though, is now that I've had the baby, you know, I was on my feet a lot, but I mean, you're home with the baby. You kind of go by the baby's schedule. You're not as flexible. So while you're pregnant, get in as much out time and exercise time as you possibly can, because I've really had to cut back my exercise, not cut back, but I haven't been able to exercise as often as I'd like to, because say she's sleeping, it's not like I can just go to the gym when she's having a nap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'd be a great parent.
Yeah.
Or leave her in the car or something. Oh, hey, you stay here. I'm going to go work out, you know, or whatever, you know.
Just crack the window. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they're fine. Leave her with some food. Forage around. Yeah, exactly. But no, it's so, you know, while you're pregnant, though, you have all that freedom. Yes, you may be a bit bigger, but you still have all the ability to do everything you'd like to do, as, you know, that your body will let you do. So do it. Because afterwards, it gets a little harder. And, you know, I've found that I've tried to set some stuff up in the basement of my house, like exercise equipment. But, you know, sometimes I'll go work out and bring her with me, and then she'll start freaking out. Not like she freaks out all the time, but she just times it very well. I'm like, hey, I want to do this workout. You just watch me. And she'll watch for a little while, and then she's like, okay, I'm bored. Now you have to play with me. So it gets better. So yeah, just, and then one other good thing about all the exercise I did, and I've heard this and read this from other women who stayed very active, is their endurance improves, because your body increases its blood volume while you're pregnant. And so you increase basically like your blood oxygen carrying capacity while you're pregnant, if you're staying really active. So afterwards, your endurance is much more improved. And there's been a lot of stories on that, like marathoners who, you know, ran most of their pregnancies, and afterwards their times all increased,
mm-hmm.
or decreased, like their performance improved. And I found the same thing. Like, I actually suck at running most of the time. And now I went for a run the other day, just a short one. I was just like, oh, I just want to get out and try to see what this is like. And I felt so good. I could breathe. It was great.
It's a nice feeling.
Yeah, it's nice when you do something you weren't able to do before. So that's another bonus of it all. And I just think overall, it's such a great experience. And I was just really put off when I read in the newspaper recently about, well, read online, obviously I don't read the newspaper anymore, but read online about Jillian Michaels saying, you know, she didn't want to have a baby because she couldn't do that to her body, blah, blah, blah. And I got a lot of people being like, oh, don't be so hard on Jillian Michaels. You know, maybe she meant something else. And I'm like, listen, the fact of the matter is she's putting some sort of negative association with having a baby and her health or physique or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I could have said, I probably would have said the same thing before I got pregnant, though, too. And I will give her the benefit of the doubt, because I have a broken back. I probably would have said, no, I don't want to get pregnant because I don't want to end up in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've just shown myself that you can do anything, and your body is very, very capable. And she has no excuses. She's got like the top physical therapist in the world at like her fingertips, basically.
She has
and,
as much money as God right now, probably, too.
Yeah, more than Oprah, probably, right? Isn't Oprah God, right? Yeah. So she's like so popular. She has all the resources around her. She would, even after she had the baby, she probably wouldn't even have to take care of it because, you know, she'd have some nanny. So give me a freaking break, you know? Don't sob me a story. And if you have hormonal problems, there's great doctors out there that know how to control that and help you. So, sorry, that's just me on my soapbox. But who knows? She may have some legitimate excuse, but the simple fact of the matter is that there's a lot of women out there that have babies and look fantastic afterwards and feel great. And she should use that as her example instead of putting some sort of negative association with it.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, you're not going to get any disagreement from here.
Yeah. So, that's basically what I have to say about exercise. Do you want to just touch a little bit about nutrition, Kevin?
Yeah, let's dive right into it. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Just a little bit. Because exercise is so much cooler. Anyway, one of the other disappointing things about being pregnant is you're told you're not supposed to eat this, you're not supposed to do that, you're not blah, blah, blah. You're not supposed to eat deli meat because deli meat might carry back listeria and that can cause you to have a miscarriage. And then you're not supposed to eat soft cheeses because of the exact same reason. Well, the bottom line with all of these things we're told not to eat is if you're not supposed to eat them when you're pregnant, should you even eat them when you're not pregnant? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think deli meats are exactly like the most nutritious food to begin with. So if you
I'll agree with you. I'm mostly I've been staying away from like the prepackaged stuff, and I usually just go with like the Boar's Head stuff.
Yeah, but even Boar's Head still, like the fact of the matter is like it's still been processed, and they have to add nitrates and nitrites and extra sodium and like things so it doesn't grow bacteria, et cetera, right? So
it's true.
So you know, the only way to get around that is eat a meat that you would cook. So you could cook your deli meat. Sorry, there's the baby. She's kind of doing her thing right now.
That's good. It's good. You know, it's ambient noise. That's nice.
Yeah, it's ambient noise. Sorry about that. now you know I actually have a kid. I'm not lying about it. I'm not like making it up for like PR, you know, like, ooh, look at this. Anyway, but so one of my girlfriend, she actually works, she's a postdoc at UMass Medical Center, and her physician is one of the doctors there. And her doctor says, you know, I've never once in my entire, you know, career as a physician, and she's older, you know, had a woman get listeria from eating deli meat once in a while. So you're probably fine if you wanted to eat it. But just remember, overall, it's not the most nutritious food, that you shouldn't like subsist off deli meat. So I would, once a week, I had this thing with Panera. I'll pump Panera. It's a bread shop. It's a sandwich place. I would go and I'd have a turkey sandwich with bacon on it when I was pregnant and have soup. And it was really great. I would have half a sandwich and a soup once a week or once every 2 weeks just because I wanted to go out and eat lunch. And I never ate bread at other times of my life. So I was like, it's okay. And I didn't die and I didn't get listeria. Soft cheeses. Yeah, you got to be careful. Like there is mold. There's other things that could affect the pregnancy. But I mean, if you had a little bit once in a while, it's not going to, It probably won't kill you. You just got to use your smarts. If it's got mold growing on it, not really a good idea, right? And then sushi. Okay, if we are going to die from eating sushi, then every little Japanese kid would have like brain defects and like, you know, abnormalities, right? Because people in Japan eat sushi while they're pregnant. I'm sorry to say. And so I would go out and eat sushi once in a while. And it was really good. I would just avoid like the high mercury tuna. You know what I mean?
I gotcha.
Yeah, you got me. So there's a couple things. You just kind of, you know, okay, fine. You know, walk your own little tightrope, like decide what line you want to cross. Mm-hmm. If I decided that sushi was important enough to me to eat that during my pregnancy and I didn't feel it was like that much of a risk factor. But I mean, if you decide you never want to do that or if you never want to eat deli meat, but just kind of use your hat, your smart thinking and be like, yeah, you know, I know this isn't the best thing in the whole world, but if I have one once a month, it's probably not going to cause me to have a miscarriage, or once a week, or whatever you want to do. The one things I did cross out of my diet for nutrition is, and now I keep them out pretty much entirely, is all artificial sweeteners. So I even bought my whey protein. I just got completely no sweetened whey protein. I use like there's BuyProUSA.com. They have their unsweetened, and there's a couple other brands out there.
Have you seen that Miracle Way stuff?
No. Is that no sweetener at all either?
I think they might use stevia.
Yeah. I didn't even use stevia. I was trying to keep away from the sweet cravings because one thing that attacked me really badly in the first trimester was like these cravings for sweets and carbs. Like, I don't eat cookies or anything like that, really. But in my first trimester, I went in the grocery store and I like went in the cookie aisle and started like staring at cookies.
Thinking about it.
Yeah. I even bought a box and brought it home, and my husband was questioning me about what the heck I was doing. He was like, what is going on here? Why'd you buy a box of cookies? Not that he like controls what I eat, but he was like pretty much.
It's not the normal for you.
It's not normal for me to bring home a box of cookies. Absolutely not at all. But I will admit, I did go into Whole Foods to buy like gluten-free, dairy-free cookies.
Just teetering the edge.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But there was a lot of times that I was craving sweets. And so women will get these like different phases of their pregnancy where they crave like especially carbs and sweets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, eat to an extent, have them, but just be careful. Like if you're going to overdo the sweets, you know, it's just going to be a reinforcing thing. Like, you know, when you eat something sweet, Kevin, and you want more of it, that's sort of like my reasoning why I cut out all the artificial sweeteners and even stevia, because I was trying to really make sure my body didn't get too used to having too much sweetness. Mm-hmm. So that I wouldn't crave it all the time. And then post-pregnancy, because I was starting to get a little lax with some of the sweetness I was eating near the end, I was like, well, you know, I'm not gaining, and I was actually losing weight near the end because I was working out so much. I was kind of like, well, it's okay to have banana bread. So then post-pregnancy, I was eating it as well, but, you know, I wasn't really feeling all that great about my physique. So now I'm getting a lot more careful with the sweetness.
Very cool. I mean, it's really interesting stuff, and again, I think the issue for other women out there might be, you know, finding the control that they might not have that I think that you have over some of the stuff. Like, I think, you know, it might be a thing of excuses where a lot of women out there might mm-hmm. tend to make, you know, well, I'm pregnant, so I'm eating for two. And I think, again, mm-hmm. going back to life cycles and nutrition, I still remember this stuff, but, you know, 500 calories extra a day is that's it.
Maybe that. And it's not that hard to eat 500 calories, you know,
it's
not that hard to eat 1,000 extra calories either. You know what I mean? So you got to be careful with what you can eat. And I will say, I didn't track what I was eating. I did not count calories. I did not count how many grams of protein I would eat. I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We all know generally how to eat well. Like, we know that banana bread probably isn't like the most healthy food. Yeah. Okay. It's got bananas in it, but that's not a rationale for it being all that great. Right.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So, you know what good foods are, and just use your common sense. Just eat well. Don't think that you're eating for two, because that's the other thing. You're not really eating for two, because you're eating for someone that weighs like maybe 10 pounds. So basically you're eating for like 1.1 or 1.08 or whatever your body weight is. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You're not really eating for two. So if you take about 10% of your calories that you're eating each day, you know, maybe that's 150, 300 more of maintenance calories, not weight loss calories. So I guess I'd be more like, I don't know, like 200 to 300 more calories or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So women really don't have to think that they're eating for two. They're just eating a little bit more and eating well. And that's really, they're all there really is to it. But some people don't know how to eat well. So I actually have a lot of clients that, or people will contact me, and I'll answer a few questions, or they'll hire me to work with them to just help them learn how to eat well, because some people never ate well before they got pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, it's even a slippier slope once they get pregnant and they see things going downhill. But that's super interesting stuff, and I think hopefully this is like a huge kind of like breath of fresh air from what women have been hearing, like reading in magazines and stuff and things like that. You know, it's a ton of actual real life evidence that they can kind of look to and use it for reference down the line.
Yeah, and just with eating, just the bottom line, just don't be too strict.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you're going to be able to go follow a diet again when you're not pregnant, when you're not breastfeeding like all the time, and that's when you can get more strict. Right now, I'll admit that I'm not necessarily getting more strict, but I'm just being more cognizant of what I'm eating, where when I was pregnant, I would just, you know, if I ate at noon, but I was like hungry again at 1 o'clock and I just taught a boot camp in the morning, I was like, well, I obviously need it. So I'm just going to eat something good. And mm-hmm. I would eat. And it didn't affect me. Like I said, during the last month and a half, I was losing weight. Like I wasn't able to keep weight on. I was like, okay, I should really just listen to my body. But other women, you know, if you're gaining way, way, way too much, you need to maybe look at what you're eating and be like, okay, this is a little excess on the sugar side. You know, maybe I'm taking this a little too far, because you got to remember this is, weight isn't going to just melt off you the second you have a baby. It's going to take a while. And when you're, like I said, when you have the baby, you're not able to move as much. So you're not going to be able to work it off very fast. And the longer it sits on you, the harder it is to take off, right? Like that long-term fat kid syndrome, right? If you're a fat kid for many, many years, it's a little harder to work that off.
Exactly.
Yes. I just threw that in for you, Kevin.
Thanks, Cass.
You're welcome. So yeah, babies are great. People should have them. But I did have someone say on my blog, they're like, I'm so sick of people thinking that, saying that, you know, women are supposed to have babies, but if you choose not to, they're somehow inferior. I'm definitely not saying anyone is inferior if they decide not to have a baby. They that's your choice and that's your body's ability. And mm-hmm. hey, maybe you're never going to, you know, want children, but that's fine. But if you do have children, just realize that you can still look awesome after, and indeed, you can still feel good. Yep.
Very cool. Cass, again, I want to thank you very much for talking with us about pregnancy and nutrition and
exercise and all exercise. That good stuff. So when are you having children, Kevin?
Yeah. I know. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I'm behind the curve. So
yeah, you got to get a girlfriend and a wife and stuff like that first.
Yeah, it's hard to raise kids in your parents' house, you know.
Kevin, you could be a sperm donor, though. You know, they pay for that.
Oh yeah, they do. Maybe two birds with one stone, kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, you get money and you can populate the world with little Kevin Larrabees that can make futuristic fit casts.
I've always been like worried about that. Like, man, that would be so, like, I don't know if I could do that, knowing in the back of my head that there is like literally my children out in the world and I don't know them. I don't think I could mentally handle that, and I'm not ready to give up my Street Fighter machine, so it's not going to happen quite
yet.
You
don't want to share it with anyone here.
No, well, maybe if I can, I'd have to get like, someone like, when we can get that technology where we can just have babies grow incredibly fast, so I can have someone to play Street Fighter with, you know, that could just be at the same level that I am. That would be cool. But until then, all I have is Roger Lawson to compete with. So,
And we love Roger Lawson. Definitely.
We do love Roger Lawson. Okay, Cass, are you going to be writing a little bit more on the blog and stuff like that about this? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm trying to either create an ebook or a real book out of all of this with a couple of my colleagues. It's just, like I said, after you have the baby, it's not like you don't have enough time. It's just sort of like you're enjoying the fact that you made it through a good pregnancy and you're not very productive right away. But I'm going to get productive. I am. It's starting.
Do you want you want me to send you some spikes? Or?
Yeah, I want some spikes. No, but then that will keep her up. You got to remember, everything I eat, she eats.
Well, you can give her. I mean, you just put it in like a little sippy cup or something like that. Or like one of those little nipple cups that you can drink, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'll give it to her so she stays awake, and then I never get anything done.
Think about the potential you could have, you know, of like a baby sprinting around the room.
Nice. No. But not yet. No, that doesn't work. Only if she would take care of my dogs and walk them for me. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But, it's all good. So yeah, thanks a lot, Kevin, for everything. And, we'll definitely talk more about this down the road, because there'll be, you know, like the 6 month sort of progress. I think women probably want to see what you can look like at 6 months postpartum, you know, because it's interesting.
And yeah, and again, if people haven't gone to Cass's site, she does have pictures up there of, like, you know, pregnancy throughout the terms of pregnancy. So it was very cool.
Yeah, definitely did that. And yeah, hopefully get this book out ASAP. And Jonathan Fast is going to actually work on it with us too. So, and that's going to be even super cooler.
Yeah, as long as John doesn't, you know, talk with his voice in it, because John and I are at a rift right now in the show, because he attacks me all show.
Oh, but horrible. That's because he loves you. You only make fun of people when you like them.
I know, but Cass, I'm gonna need you to come on and defend me at least. I'll send you some free spikes.
Free spikes. And I still need to send you the glucomannan, which is sitting right beside me on my desk, and I keep saying, send to Kevin.
Oh, and actually, that reminds me, a bonus. I'm gonna do a bonus question. We've always talked about digestive stuff in the past.
Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. Any new tips or tricks when it comes to people whose intestines don't like to function as well as they should?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. One thing is colon hydrotherapy.
There we go. Let's talk a little bit about that for a sec.
Okay. Colon hydrotherapy is where you go to probably a holistic clinic. It's not something like at a doctor's office, but a holistic clinic, and they put the little tube up inside you, and they put water in you.
Sorry, it's a health event. Everything it's up. A health show, too.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay. So they clean you out. And some people that have a lot of problems with their digestive function, especially if they're gassy and bloated a lot, it's because fecal matter is sitting in their intestines and just kind of basically fermenting. And when you do those colon hydrotherapies, you can see like the yeast kind of coming out. It's like bubbles and like white stuff that comes out when you get it done. And I've had it done and seen it. I've had a lot of digestive issues. It's probably because I wasn't breastfed when I was a kid. That's the problem.
Oh, neither was I.
You're fed formula, right?
Damn.
Yeah, breastfed and well,
I was the only one in my family, or of the three kids that wasn't.
Oh, why is that? Your mom didn't love you?
Pretty much. No, they're just like, oh man, we didn't want that third one, so.
Yeah, so we'll just give
what, her. What can we pick up at the Stop and Shop for them?
Yeah, exactly. That's a carnation, somewhat good start, right?
Damn it.
Yeah. No, breastfed, it all comes back to when you're a baby, right? Anyway.
Super interesting. All right, well, again.
Yeah, so colon hydrotherapy. Try it out. It really it makes you feel lighter and cleaner, and also it reduces a lot of the digestive issues. And I try to get one done whenever I start getting issues, and I have kind of have to go get one done soon. So on postpartum. There's a lot of weird things that go on in your gut after you have a baby.
Next time on the FitCast.
Next time on the FitCast. Okay, well, thank you, Kevin, for that lovely talk. And, because we all know about probiotics and digestive enzymes and activated charcoal and chlorophyll and all those things. But if you've got stuff sitting in you that's just kind of causing you issues over and over and over again, you got to get it out. All right. Sounds good. Go get it done, Kevin. Have fun. Let me know what you think.
Well, see you next time.
Okay. Talk to you.
Hello, welcome to this week's off-topic discussion. Kevin Larrabee here and Lee Peel. What's up, Lee?
Well, I just wanted to interject that after not one, two, three conversations, I've now been convinced to buy Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yes. Good.
And I've never seen it, but I've been absolutely just pounded with it. And so it's going
to
happen.
Does this have anything to do with one of the mailbag questions this week? Which I think is spot friggin' on.
It was so funny that it came because it's the third time now that's been referenced.
Starbuck?
Yeah. It's
right on. Like I don't know why I haven't thought about it, but then I was like, holy shit, that's Lee.
Yeah.
Like straight up.
It's been referenced like a few times now. And so I just like, okay. Obviously, this is just something I need to watch. This just is because I'm a narcissist. And also, I'm just interested in the show. And I love a good sci-fi show. I just I don't get around to it much. So I'm doing it. So you will soon probably be hearing me sing the praises.
It'll be good to talk a little bit about that because I haven't watched an episode of it since it wrapped up. I don't think it's one of those shows that you're going to go back to every 2 years and rewatch over again, but the I'm telling you, it starts off great for the first like 4/5 of the series.
It not end great?
It depends who you talk to. I wasn't super happy with how it ended, but it's Battlestar Galactica, and it gives every other sci-fi show a run for its money.
Well, I'm on it now. I'm on it, and you should also be jealous because I got invited to a fist pump party. And that's not kinky.
In reference
Jersey
to what?
Jersey Shore.
Oh yeah, that's
I got invited to a Visfont party. I'm probably going to be attending to it this evening, and all my credibility I know goes out the window for me admitting that publicly. I usually keep these kind of things private, but you know, just since John's not here, I felt the need to represent.
I didn't know you needed to have a party for that. I thought you were just supposed to do that. You know, when you go into the gym, you do a set, and then you do a fist pump, a celebratory fist pump to celebrate that you got like 3 sets of 12 bicep curls done. 25-pound dumbbells.
I only fist pump for my tri work.
Oh, okay. Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense because you get a little
trying to really do some antagonist, like synergist work.
Yeah, it's you know, it's elbow extension, so
yeah.
You get it in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Yeah. What are you up to this weekend, Kevin?
Fringe just wrapped up last night. Yes, we're recording on Friday, not Sunday. But Fringe just wrapped up its season last night, and holy crap. Not going to ruin it, but it's ridiculous. And I've officially put Olivia Dunham, or whoever plays her, as like woman that I probably should sleep with by the time that I'm like 30. So I'm going to...
Is that the hot blonde from the blog?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, that's... she's from Chuck, which Chuck wraps up...
Oh, okay, okay, gotcha. I got you. You're talking about...
Featured Scott Bakula last week of Quantum Leap fame. He was on Chuck. He plays Chuck's father.
Mm. Love the connections.
Dude, Scott Bakula looks great.
Olivia Dunham.
Yeah, she is... she's it's older.
Not your typical type.
She's
no,
older.
I'm happy. This is like a rounded... This is real rounded here. I'm surprised.
Yeah, and she's... I mean, I think it's really good that she is, she's married to one of the stars of one of my favorite shows that never took off, Keen Eddie, who, oh my God, if I wish there was someone out there that watched Keen Eddie besides me, there probably isn't, but, Anna Torv, that's her name. She's actually married to Mark Valley, who started out on season one of the show as her boyfriend. They met on the show and they ended up getting married last year. But, you know, he was originally on Keen Eddie, which was a show on Fox, which was about an American kind of police officer that went to the UK to follow up on a lead from some mob thing, and hilarity ensued. So,
yeah, never heard that.
Yeah, whole 9 episodes. Got a whole 9 episodes, so... And no, it got 13, but the last like 4 or 5 didn't air, which is awesome. Bastards at Fox.
They always do that too. Yeah, she's hot, but in this very kind of classic PI way of at least most of these pictures I'm seeing. But very, very nice. I love a woman in a pantsuit that can pull it off sexy in a pantsuit. That can be really hot. And Joshua Jackson's hot, but that's for more my side of things. I'm sure not your side. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm, you know, I.
You don't. I know Pacey doesn't do it for you.
I never thought Pacey should have got the girl. Spoiler alert for Dawson.
You know, I'm gonna have to agree with you.
I mean, when Dawson was crying, like I even had to use that in one of my blogs last week.
No, I saw that. I saw that. You said that actually. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. But I'm gonna have to. I am a purist in the sense of when. In fact, the whole end of that show was just bull.
Yeah.
It's bull. The whole end of it was just It was almost as bad as I didn't watch. I don't know if you ever saw Felicity because I didn't like watch it like all year, right. It doesn't matter though. This is a spoiler if you've never seen Felicity or if you're watching it and you've never seen the end. But apparently, I watched enough of it to kind of be like, you know, like to kind of know what was going on. And it's just this normal college show, chicks in college, like they it's nothing weird or anything. And they end it with this whole like time travel flashback thing. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Like all of a sudden it's like quasi-dimensional. And I'm like, what? Well, what the hell is with the CW shows and how they're ending? But yeah, Dawson's Creek end, I was just like, that was bullshit. There was absolutely no reason for it to end like that. The whole thing was built up for Dawson and Joey or whatever. I think that was her name. And there was no reason to do that. And I liked Pacey. I did. But there was no reason to do that. It just didn't flow. Didn't flow for me. Bummer. Can't believe I'm talking about that there, obviously.
It's been a long time since we talked about it, and it's been really bad for people who are fans on the show, who are my Xbox Live friends, and hear me talk about video games and how I haven't turned on my Xbox in like 3 weeks, but some new stuff came out, and I've been playing this game called Split Second, which you've probably, it's been splattered all over the TV. There's no way you haven't seen a commercial for this, but I think I talked about it a while back when Roger Lawson of Roger Lawson, RogerLawFitness.com, and I went to PAX East and got to play that. And the second I got home from that show, I ordered it right in front of his face. I was like, dude, I'm going to order this game because I had a $5 off coupon. And this game is so awesome. Like, it's hard. You know, I've had to retry a lot of like races, but basically the premise is you're a race driver in this set that is basically a city, and it's loosely based around that you're part of a TV show, kind of like Death Race, but not really. There's no guns involved or anything like that, but you can kind of build up this meter that allows you to trigger these explosions or events in the city. Like the there's kind of like a, you know, there's like a, there's this airport level where you're driving around an airport and you can trigger this explosion that makes the air traffic control tower crash down into the ground and create an alternate path in the level. And you end up going onto a runway. So if you also have a, you know, more room in that meter, maybe someone behind you has room in that meter, they can actually trigger an airplane landing, and an airplane would like land right on all the cars that are on the runway. And you can kind of, you have to be like really precise in dodging. And it just gives you these like, oh crap, like these like crazy moments where you're like tilting, like you're moving in your chair kind of a thing to try to make sure you get that extra boost. Like it kind of feels like, you know, if I ever saw my mom play video games or something like that, or you see old people play video games and they try to move the controller up to try to make them like things jump higher or to move to the side faster, which, you know, obviously doesn't really work, but highly recommend that. And also, I never watched Twin Peaks. That was a little bit before my time. But there's this other game called that just came out called Alan Wake, which kind of has, I guess, supposedly a Twin Peaks vibe, and it's been like in production for 5 years, and it's finally done, and it's really, really cool. It's got very cool creepiness, like small town up in the mountains vibe to it, and I think it's really cool. Those are two things that people should definitely check out, and hopefully there is, hopefully you have some time to play. I've only got to play like maybe an hour of each, but I'm hoping to spend part of my time this weekend doing some of that. But I also got this arcade machine. Lee, we haven't talked about this, but I got this arcade machine that has like 1,100 games.
That you've been, this is the one you're fixing up, right?
Yeah, well, I bought this Marvel vs. Street Fighter cabinet, and I took out the Marvel vs. Street Fighter, and I took out the monitor that was in there, which is an arcade monitor. I bought a old 21-inch Sony Trinitron VGA monitor, which is like 800 pounds, built a shelf for it, built a new bezel for it out of wood, and like replaced the speakers, made a new shelf for the speakers. I've really been like, this has kind of been my thing to get my mind off things a little bit, so I've been kind of putting some time into that, and been working with my stepdad quite a bit because I've no woodworking skills, and luckily he has some. But I ended up getting the equipment for this thing, which is kind of part PC, it's part arcade machine, kind of molded together, it plays 1,100 arcade games, everything from your favorite like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, one of my favorites, Sunset Riders, the Simpsons game. It has Pac-Man. It has like everything. It literally has even has stuff up to like Killer Instinct 2, which is up into like almost the year 2000, and Street Fighter 3. So basically, yeah, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. And the new part's supposed to come today, which hopefully will fix all these issues and I'll actually get to use the damn thing. But yeah, Lee, I literally have a a book in front of me that has all 1,100 games on it, and I've highlighted some of my favorites, like, you know, Mortal Kombat. Oh,
please do tell. Yes.
You know, Mortal Kombat.
Finisher.
Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. Street Fighter, the movie, the game, which is good just because about how crappy it is. It's actually like digital representations of the people from the movie and the voice actors from the movie. So you got Ming-Na saying stuff, which is cool. The Versus games from Nintendo, which... If you've ever seen a PlayChoice 10.
God, I forgot all about that.
Oh, my God. If anyone out there has a PlayChoice 10 and wants to send me one, that's the one thing I'm ever going to need besides this thing. But I'm going to need a PlayChoice 10 at some point in my life. It's got, you know, other cool... Like, it's got literally tons of stuff, but I only highlighted a couple. Like, Road Blasters. It's got Tubin.
Oh, wow.
Tubin. What's up? E-SWAT, Pitfall 1 and 2. It's got all the X-Men games. It's got Punch-Out. That's
crazy.
Let's see. All the Altered Beast, all the Double Dragon games. These are all like the arcade versions, too. It's like nuts. Obviously, Donkey Kong, like all those old arcade games. But all the Street Fighter games, Bionic Commando, Snow Brothers, Alien vs. Predator, Mercs... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original arcade game. Sunday Night Slam Masters, which I just highlighted because it sounded cool.
You're never going to leave your house.
Bobble Bobble versus Dr. Mario. Marvel versus Capcom.
Wow. Mario versus Capcom.
Dude, it's like, Lee, it goes on and on. And we used to have, when I worked at Game Trailers, we had this same system. So it's like... It was a productivity killer at Game Trailers to the point where we used to have to turn it off. All the Mortal Kombats, you know, all the Street Fighters, NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It's going to be a interesting weekend if I can get that to work, and possible mandate with also the aforementioned Raj Law.
He has a texting problem. I'm calling him out right now on the... I'm sure.
He has 1,000 texts and he goes through them every month, like halfway through the month.
He has a severe texting problem. He gives good texts, though. He does. He gives good texts, but he has a texting problem. I'm an enabler, though. I've succumbed to it. I've stopped fighting it. I give into it now.
All right, that's 15 minutes off topic. Are we good to go?
You ended on me saying he gives good text. Awesome. Let's do it.
That's what she said.
Yep. It never gets old. Maybe I'm just a dork. Okay, I'm ready.